Folks, we are ready to resume. If everybody would please take their seats. And Monica. There's Dr. Hunter. Okay, we're all here. Mr. Almy had suggested that perhaps the chemical constituent monitoring short presentation just be deferred for any rebuttal testimony, and that's fine with us as long as they're thinking about what they want to present to us so we don't lose time there. So, Mr. Briggs, I think we can then move on to some of our speaker cards. And we'll start with staff. Okay. Go ahead.
Ryan Lodge, yes. Board of Staff. I just want to provide a little bit of clarification with the conversation that occurred or the testimony previous to the break. The pyramid that they were looking at, the different levels of measuring effectiveness in the program. Mr. Almy stated that at level one, I believe, through the first 5 years, when actually the county will be at levels one through four in the first year, right off the bat. Things such as measuring the amount of pesticide use by county facilities and measuring it year in, year out, reducing the amount and measuring the pounds of pesticides that are being are no longer being used and taken out of the system, weighing the amount of street sweeping materials that are collected during those operations, weighing the amount of material collected during their storm drain maintenance operations. Those are all measures that actually go up to level four and provided information about actual load reductions. So I just want to clarify that that is actually in the program from the beginning, and we expect that they will, and they're required to report that on an annual basis in their annual report.
When would we expect to see level six changes? In what year?
Level six changes can occur as soon as year one, but as we've discussed, allocating resources initially to measuring that may not be the best approach in terms of the program, because you want to get the program up and running. The first 5 years, you're getting the program running, and you're institutionalizing the BMPs in the process.
So does that mean we don't know when level six changes will occur? We can't anticipate at this point?
It's very difficult. I mean, this is a very long-term process, and a lot of these BMPs take many years to take hold and provide effectiveness in reducing pollutants loading.
And, of course, we wouldn't know if there were any level six changes if there was no specific monitoring going on.
Correct. Right. Ultimately, that's the goal, is to get to that level and to measure that.
Right.
But again, it's a very long-term process to get to that point.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, since I got you up here. Now,
your speaker. Are you on the speaker?
Yeah, since I got you up here. I understood, and I think maybe it wasn't. Maybe I either understood it wrong or was presented wrong. It seems to me that the gentleman, Mr. Almy, said that they wouldn't be evaluating any BMPs until into the second permit. Isn't that not right?
That's
is that incorrect?
That is incorrect.
Okay, thanks. That's all I need to know on that. Thanks.
Okay. Any other board questions? All right. Seeing none, let's move to Stacy Lawson from City of Lompoc. And then we have Jill Zachary from the City of Santa Barbara. And then we're going to have a present Kira Schmidt with Channel Keeper. And then NRDC and Coast Law Group and Heal the Ocean following. That's the order. If anyone else wishes to address the board on this agenda item, please fill out a card and present it to staff so we can get you in the queue.
Thank you, members of the board. My name is Stacy Lawson. I'm the Senior Environmental Coordinator for the City of Lompoc. And I wanted to say that the City of Lompoc supports Santa Barbara County's efforts to obtain coverage on NPDES Phase 2 general permit. We believe that their program meets and exceeds MEP. And as well, we wanted to make the point that they really have been very diligent in coordinating meetings between the various cities in the county and to the county itself, and those meetings have been very helpful to us in exchanging information as well as exchanging approaches to difficulties in addressing issues in stormwater quality. We support the staff recommendation, and we hope that you will go ahead and approve the county's plan to allow them to implement and move forward and improve water quality in our county. Thank you.
Okay. I have a few questions for you. Do we have a swamp that's coming up for Lompoc?
Mm-hmm.
We do. Okay. Where is that in this process?
October. The October board meeting, which is going to be in Santa Barbara.
Okay. We can certainly get into this then, but I'm just curious because we're going to be dealing with this here now. How do you deal with enforcement issues within Lompoc? Have you taken any enforcement actions against illicit discharges and people dumping things in creeks, et cetera?
Okay. At this point, we, unlike the county, and being a relatively small city, and we're also very isolated, we do not have the Project Clean Water. We don't have that large organization, and we don't have that large support from the community, because the community in southern part of Santa Barbara County is much more environmentally inclined than maybe they would be in northern county. We do have a lot of people who are concerned, and increasingly we have had issues and reports of specific stormwater quality issues, such as somebody maybe dumping some paint or sweeping some paint, dried paint flakes into the gutter, and our gutters do serve as our primary storm drain system. In those cases, we have sent our inspectors out, and the inspectors have talked with the individuals and encouraged them to change their ways. We have sent letters notifying people in particular particular types of businesses, such as painting, that they're not to dump their paint waste in the gutter. And at this point, because we do not have a permit, we don't have a stormwater ordinance, and so we really have no enforcement power.
Your comment, you know, is something I also, I believe, staff had put into the staff report, and that is essentially that somehow these entities think that without a permit issued, they have no enforcement power to deal with people that discharge illegally in their jurisdictions. And I find that hard to believe.
Well, if I might respond, I believe that in discussing it with our city administration and city attorney, legally we don't have that enforcement power because we do not have an ordinance for stormwater. The ordinance has been pending the direction by the board in approval of our permit.
How about people that dump trash?
There is an ordinance that addresses trash dumping, and we do have an ordinance in place and do enforce.
Have you taken any enforcement actions with respect to that ordinance that you can recall?
Off the top of my head, I cannot specify. I do know that there are issues, situations, a couple of them along the river that have occurred where enforcement action has been taken. I also know that on a regular basis, we do, in areas where dumping is prevalent in our community, they're pretty far from water courses because we don't really have water courses through the town. But we do have people who go out every week and check for old couches, washing machines, those kind of things that people might dump, and contact the property owners and get them to clean it up. So we do have some ordinances that address these things in place.
Okay. Dr. Hunter?
Thank you for coming today. And I'm also interested, you mentioned the differences in environmental values between South County and North County. I also note in the public participation element, there is a new North County stakeholder group that's going to be formed, and in part will start to alternate in the program with South County, which has already been established and in place. So will Lompoc have an opportunity to help to establish the agenda for North County? So if so, you know, how do you see that stakeholder process assisting you or perhaps expanding the limitations of your ability to do that kind of outreach? And, you know, how effective you feel that's going to be in beginning to, and for my part, a lot of it has to do with creating peer pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about mutt-mitts before. I mean, some of that is occurring because other people come along and say, hey, you know, there are bags, pick it up. And that works. In fact, sometimes that works better than more police. But the point is, you're aware of kind of the challenges for engaging North County residents and targeting some of the well-known practices that are causing these problems. So how will that North County stakeholder process work for you?
Well, I would refer to Rob Almy as far as exactly how the county has identified their stakeholder process development, etc. The city would certainly be interested in participating, as well as having organizations from the Lompoc Valley participate, because that really would help us to reach more people more quickly. And then also in the education focus for us, we agree with the county. We found great success in providing an environmental message to children who then take it home to their parents and to the other members of the community, and that really has made a big difference. And we do reach at least 1,000 children each year with various environmental issues.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Zachary?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, my name is Jill Zachary. I am the Creeks Restoration and Water Quality Manager for the City of Santa Barbara. And in that capacity, I am also responsible for our stormwater management program, just to give you a good context. What I'd like to say today, and I did indicate only 3 minutes, so I'm going to keep it to that, but I also wanted to offer to the board, if you'd like, I can answer some questions you might have from a local agency perspective, some of the issues that you're addressing. You haven't considered our stormwater management program yet. However, all of the things that the county is looking at and has looked at over the past three years, we have as well. So I'd be happy to offer any input if you think that might be helpful. The city and the county have been working on water quality issues for 8 years, and through that effort, we have coordinated and communicated on the development of a lot of programs. Many of the things Mr. Almy presented to you related to public education and outreach have been in development for a number of years. We've also spent a lot of time looking at different types of BMPs, infrastructure-related BMPs, whether they're bioswales, whether they're CDS filtration units, and as a coordinating agency group, sort of looked at different places in the South Coast of where it's appropriate to install those. The county's made the effort to actually go ahead and install those without a stormwater management program in place. That enables a local agency to try to capture pollutant sources from a larger sub-watershed rather than on an individual basis. So there is benefit to that. And there are ways to measure the effectiveness of those things. For example, what is actually taken out of those CDS units that would otherwise have gone into a storm drain and into the ocean directly, depending on where it's located, or into a creek. So when you're thinking about monitoring and effectiveness, there are ways to actually look at what the devices that are in place are actually achieving. Over the last 3 years, we've also worked with the county and stakeholders in the development of our stormwater management programs. I think what you have before you today is the result of hard work on the part of both regional board staff, county staff, and the environmental stakeholders. And I want to acknowledge the fact that all of that work effort has produced a program that I would recommend that the board move forward and adopt this today. Part of that recommendation comes from the fact that it has been a work in progress for 3 years. Part of that recommendation comes from the fact that as a local agency, we would like to have stormwater management programs in place. The City of Santa Barbara, like the County of Santa Barbara, has begun implementing these programs. the SWMP gives us another tool. It gives us another tool to do additional things, to expand our ordinances, to implement additional programs, and it enables us to say not only as a local community we want to do this, but we have a federal regulation as well. I'd like just briefly to, if you wouldn't mind giving me the time, I don't know if that beep was my 3 minutes.
It was. if you want to wrap it up,
yeah,
some more
just,
comments, that would be fine.
As I wanted just to speak to the education and outreach and trying to evaluate its effectiveness, that's a challenge. We certainly have spent a number of years developing materials, whether they're videos or training materials or printed materials or other videos that you'd see on TV or radio shows. And every time we do one, we try to seek through anecdotal information who's heard it, what did they think. We try to review it with target audiences before we even put it up or display it, and often we change that. These are programs that we've done in conjunction with the county. Every time we do one, we often get feedback, maybe you could have done it this way. So the next time we do it differently. We, with the county, did that survey that was mentioned earlier. We are intending to do a follow-up survey. Surveys are as good as surveys can be as well. So there is a challenge to identify, well, how are people's behaviors changing over time? And I would just say, from my perspective, we continue to look at more effective ways to reaching the public. And one way is, you know, documenting what we are doing, but then another way is providing back anecdotal information in absence of statistical information, but that we will get there and that we will be able to do that. So there's a number of different ways of looking at presenting the results of our efforts. And I would hope that both the city and the county, through our annual reports, are able to capture that for you.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Zucker. That's actually answered the question I asked originally. That was the answer I was looking for. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Are you going to be here for the rest of this, or are you going to leave?
I will be here, yes. If that's helpful, yes.
Well, I did want to touch on something, and I'm sure you probably know what it is, and it has to do with the jurisdictional issues. And perhaps now is as good a time as any to try to, talk to, even the city of Lompoc is here too, so I think that would be helpful. And I'm not picking on the city of Santa Barbara or the county, because I think what I experienced is probably something that happens, frequently. It's kind of a structural challenge to the way departments are set up and lines of communication go. And so I just want to tell the rest of the board kind of the experience I had and then what happened, and try to engage the two of you and the three of you in some dialogue as to how we might address that, maybe through the swamps that we're dealing with throughout the region. Because when I read the enforcement activity follow-up just in this swamp right here, I'm thinking it's just too loose. It's too vague. There's nothing in here that at this point, makes me feel confident that we can really start to hope to achieve real enforcement. And so this is a situation that I experienced in my neighborhood. And I was coming home one day, and there was a small dump truck backed up to a creek, a offshoot of the Arroyo Creek, and it was dumping soil into the creek. And at first I was a little shocked to see this happening in broad daylight, but at any time, but right in broad daylight. And I thought about it. I came back and within about 30 minutes and saw that the truck was actually returning to where it was and had got another load and was dumping another load. And at that point I pulled over and took down all the information that was available, license plate, name on the door, the type of truck, the vehicle, where it was going, and I tracked it back to the a lot in Hope Ranch where they were getting soil just from a residential construction site. and there was nothing done in secret about it. It was out in the open. And I did call the city immediately, and I may have called Mr. Olney, too. It may have been two calls almost simultaneously, not really knowing who had jurisdiction and what could be done. But I did give this information to Ms. Zachary's staff, and there was an immediate follow-up. They had contacted the police, and the police came out from what I recall and did interview. They found the truck driver, and he said that he had been told by the county beach ranger, Royal Borough Park is a county park, and he had been told by the ranger that this soil could be dumped in there because it was a replenishment to the creek because of all the scouring that had occurred in the winter. That turned out not to be true, according to the people that were interviewed down at the beach park. So I know with my discussions with Mr. Almey later, you know, we I think understood, God, this is a great opportunity for government, I mean, to follow up on this and to take an enforcement action, clear-cut violation of something. And it should be something that gets, you know, publicized because it's an activity that is illegal. It doesn't need a swamp to be illegal. It's illegal, and there should be follow-up.
Right.
And my frustration was in not, they're not, there being some follow-up. I think, and Ms. Zachary can fill this in where I'm missing some pieces, but there was, I think, a referral made to the DA's office, either jointly with the county or the city doing that, and then to Fish and Game. And to this point in time, nothing has really, no final action has happened, and I think there's been some cross-communication difficulties with maybe the DA thinking that the case was not going to be prosecuted, and Fish and Game possibly being not very able to carry out any kind of an enforcement proceeding. And I did call Ms. Zachary on the phone, and we had a discussion, and I had discussed this with Mr. Olney also. And what they just kind of clarified to me or educated me on is just the difficulty in this jurisdictional issues. Here you've got a site that's in the county. The dumping is going on in the city, and then the owner of the truck lives outside the county. And so I guess I think about these things a little too simplistically, and I think there should be a head on a platter somewhere. I don't mean the government, but I mean this discharger. And so I'd like to know what we can do to put into these swamps something that will make our permittees deal with this now. And I don't want to wait to year 2, 3, 4, or 5. To me, that's really not it's too long. I think this should be something that agencies are, you know, have a handle on. And if a regional board member presents something and knows what's going on, and there isn't, I think, a good follow-through, I'm just concerned that, you know, the one person that calls up who doesn't really know anything and says, you know, I'm seeing something going on, if the follow-up isn't there when there's a really confirmed legitimate case of liability, then I just kind of question how good are we collectively, you know, in the region, in really making sure that, you know, our entities are really doing a good job or as good a job as they could do with enforcement. So you've got time, really, kind of fill them in on what I missed.
Okay. Sure.
And then kind of respond to that if you would.
Yeah, just for the board, just to fill in what Mr. Young, the chair, mentioned, that's a classic example of we have systems in place at the local level and the state level to address this particular issue. And you're correct. You don't need a stormwater management program to address it. It was an illegal dumping of soil on the edge of a waterway within the incorporated city. It came from a property in unincorporated county. It was done by an individual that has a business in Simi Valley. So if that had occurred on a city property on a city waterway, even by a business outside of the county, the city's process allows for us to issue a notice of violation to the property owner. And if that dumping was not abated, we can issue a citation, which includes a $100 fine for every day that the violation's not abated. In this situation, it came from a property outside of the city, so we don't have enforcement authority. The police officer that responded did not write a citation, apparently. When Fish and Game was contacted, they wrote up a report, and they contacted the DA's office, and the DA's office said, well, we think there's already a case pending against this individual, and so they didn't pursue it because they wanted to avoid double jeopardy. You can't have two individuals or two agencies going after an individual. I think from a coordination standpoint, to be honest, it probably went fairly well. I think the shortcoming of this incident is the follow-up. So we never heard back from Fish and Game that they'd written the report and they'd done that. Should we, the city of Santa Barbara, have followed up? Short answer is yes. And I will tell you, as the regional board, at about the same time that summer, in my own program, I was advocating for an additional enforcement staff person for this very reason. I only had one individual who was only doing enforcement half-time. And so if you have a plate that's full, and we all know we have staff that's a plate that's full, some things may not ultimately get answered. So I think we're trying to answer that. I now have two people on staff, so that I have a morning and an afternoon person that responds to enforcement. We also need to work more closely with regional board staff on these issues, because I think the regional board can help us and coordinate more with California Fish and Game. And I've actually already spoken with the regional board staff that are involved in enforcement, and I think we've already begun talking about, okay, what's the decision-making and process we follow on a case like this? The city of Santa Barbara maintains pretty complete records of every enforcement issue that we address, and we have that. We actually report on that on an annual basis, and we would do that in association with our stormwater management program, too. We like to look at this issue as one that we need to learn from. I do know that there was some discussion as to whether the dirt was... It would be more impactful to the creek to remove the dirt than to leave it in place. And you might think that sounds crazy, but that was some individuals' opinions. Not that that's what we used as an opinion to justify the action, but we also look at the issue and say, okay, what happened? What's the best solution? We thought the solution was being followed. And unfortunately, because I think perhaps too many agencies were involved, it wasn't followed through on. At this point, we believe that that vegetation has grown in that area and that the dirt is not likely to go anywhere. But that's an example of something that we do realize could have been done better. And given that we know what happened in that situation, we now have a mechanism to say, okay, how do we do it better and what do we put in place? And we're working towards that.
Dr. Hunter.
Can I just interrupt? I don't want to get too far afield on this specific case because it's really irrelevant to what's before the board today, but I think it's a good example of how the cities and the county are going to deal with jurisdictional issues. And one of the things you mentioned was that the city didn't have any jurisdiction because somebody brought the dirt in from outside the city. But by the same token, if you've got an ordinance that says no illicit discharges and someone walks in with something from outside the city limits and dumps it, what you're suggesting is the city wouldn't have jurisdiction. And I don't think that that's the case. I think maybe from the county's perspective, that's something that really should be addressed to Mr. Almey, if the board has concerns about whether the county has adequate authority to enforce their ordinances. But I don't want to discuss this particular site anymore.
If I could just add one more thing, if you don't mind. Our current ordinance structure would make it very difficult for us to follow through. In our stormwater management program, we follow through what we currently have in place and acknowledge that we need to identify a better mechanism to be able to address issues like this.
Okay. Any other, Mr. Hayashi?
Well, the only comment that I have is that unless that dirt enters the waters of the state, it's not our issue, is it?
It when it rains, that dirt's going to be in there.
No, but that's when it rains. But yeah. Until that point, it's not.
Well, it has.
I don't think we need to discuss the specifics of whether that was illegal or legal. I think the issue is, was the multi-agency response appropriate, and do the local regulatory authorities have adequate legal power to prevent illicit discharges into their system as they're required to do by the permit?
Well, in Ms. Okun, it's not just whether they have adequate legal power. It's what kind of follow-up do they have? And see, that goes right to the swamp. And
right.
So, I mean, now to make it pertinent to what we're dealing with, page 327 of the swamp, 3-27, and 5-15, both deal with enforcement. And on 327, this is the BMP for illicit discharge detection and elimination. The implementation details annual report will include enforcement activities and follow-up abatement results. And then page 515 under measurable goals for, this is a different BMP, reads, take enforcement actions on all non-compliant condition projects. And so I think that that's just too loose. You know, and I'm looking really to some better language, because if even from what Mr. Almy is telling me, that, you know, he's got other departments that have some control over different kinds of permits, and I don't know that we want to wait, you know, 2 or 3 years to find out that, well, enforcement activities really just meant, you know, the water agency or Project Clean Water, but in fact it really meant that it was a comprehensive follow-up to all county activities and all departments. And, you know, the same question, you know, for Lompoc and the city when it comes time, and to the other Phase 2 permittees. I think there's got to be more meat on this to be meaningful.
Mr. Chairman, in this case, we identified for the City Police Department the source of the materials. We confirmed the contractor and the subcontractor, and all that information was passed on within 24 hours.
Okay, no, Mr. Almy.
There is an implication that somehow the enforcement language in here is not sufficient. And in this case, we provided the information to both the Department of Fish and Game and the City Police in a timely manner, and the information was complete, and we have a pretty good record of that. To the extent that you wish to take us to task for our own enforcement mechanisms, we'd be happy to talk about that. But this dirt hit the ground in either a public right-of-way or on private property in the city of Santa Barbara. Both the state and local agencies that were appropriate, we reported to. We will track our enforcement, as we said. We go through regularly and look at our own enforcement program. This is a flowchart that we put together recently to be sure that we've got the right kind of questions, and that they're very straightforward, and that our field people can have this in the field, and so we make the right referrals. That's the first step. The second step is the follow-up. And we will vigorously encourage, work with, browbeat and cajole other agencies to do their work, but we don't have the jurisdiction to do the work for other people. We cannot do state agency work for them. If they don't have rigorous follow-through, then we simply cannot stand in their place. In this case, it was in a riparian zone along a draw to a creek that flows perennially. The Department of Fish and Game is not here to talk about why they chose not to follow up. My vision, personal vision, in referring this matter to the Department of Fish and Game, was that they would force the perpetrator to go in and pull this dirt out by hand, and it would make good media, and we would make a point out of it. I shared that vision with you when you called me the first time. We followed through, and we did everything we can. We do not do Fish and Game's work for them. We cannot. Those are the rules of the game. This may be a good example of interagency coordination that was not followed through, but this is certainly no reason to criticize the county's stormwater management program.
Okay, now, you should not take anything I said personally, and unfortunately you have.
Well,
and hang on a second. Let's get our egos out of this.
Okay.
Mr. Almy, please. Okay.
I'm fine with that.
I left the issue of the dumping of the soil, and I think you unfortunately missed really the thrust of my point. I'm not really critical of the two of you and what happened with it. It's just I'm using it to highlight, I think, an issue that probably happens throughout our region and everywhere. I think it's just kind of a lack of follow-up and combined with the jurisdictional challenges. That's why I'm using this example in this context, because we're dealing with a swamp that has enforcement follow-up language in it. And so I'm now just focusing on your swamp and language that I think needs to be tightened up to make me feel confident that we're really going to have, for instance, your oversight to all of your departments at a minimum.
Sure.
This means all county departments, and I don't know that that's true from reading this. I don't want to make any assumptions.
Right. But let's read the BMP. You were citing the table. The BMP in its entirety says spill and complaint response.
Mr. Almy, let me direct the board members to the right page. Page 326.
326
at the top of the page, under the heading right. Spill and Complaint Response.
So there are three elements of the BMP. The first is respond to complaints of illicit or illegal discharge within 24 business hours of receiving the complaint, referral, or notice. The second is document response to complaints, notices, and referral received. The third is respond to 100% of calls to Project Clean Water staff within 24 hours. Complaints outside direct county jurisdiction are forwarded to the appropriate regulatory agency responsible for elimination of illegal discharges. Where County of Santa Barbara has enforcement authority, and then there is a list of examples, the county will respond directly and identify and control or eliminate illegal discharges. Now, I'm not sure we'd be happy to entertain any changes to the wording there, but that seems to us both simple and elegant. It's complete. It says what we will do. And the standard is control or eliminate.
Okay. Here's one comment right away. The respond to 100% of calls to PCW staff. I think that should be to county staff, because you've got a building department that issues different kinds of permits. And how can you just cut out just a section or a subsection of county government as the responsible recipients of complaints? I don't know that anyone would really know who necessarily to call. I mean, if you see a residence that's under construction and the painters are dumping paint, you know, down the storm drain or something, they call the building
point
department.
Well taken.
Know about it?
We are happy to make the change.
Okay. All right, and then where do you have in this some mechanism where you are able to get that information from these other departments?
That goes to the table with the reporting function, where we have one of our tasks is to establish the reporting mechanism within the county that Mr. Walker alluded to, whereby the various BMPs that are implemented by other county agencies are reported to us and compiled and provided in the annual report.
Well,
and this this challenge cuts across all of the BMPs and all of the minimum control measures. This is not a trivial exercise, and we've given it some thought. We've talked about software programs. We've talked about a menu of BMPs and their reporting measures and how to take the data and then how to compile and account for the data. We understand this is a challenge.
Okay. How about a couple more wording changes then?
Did you want to hear from the public before we got into wording changes?
Yeah, certainly. I just want to find out from you while I have you here about this. And it just follows what we just said. I'm just transferring that to the table. In other words, annual report will include enforcement activity and activities and follow-up abatement results of all county agencies?
Right. To the extent that we agree on a concept represented, for example, by this wording change at the top of 326, there are clearly other changes, and we will need to go through the entire document very carefully and be sure that there is consistency between the text that describes the BMPs and the table which summarizes them. And okay. So I wouldn't think we would necessarily need to do that now, because we have other changes through the resolution that we have agreed to make, and we would capture those, and we would sit down with the staff and be very systematic about
this. Okay, well, then let's add this to the list in the resolution as something at least to discuss, because I don't want to lose it. And additional language would be also, and this goes more to the other issue, kind of the follow-up when you hand things over to another regulatory agency, that I would hope that we've got a mechanism for follow-through, that so that if you turn it over to Fish and Game, that you get some confirmation back at some point that Fish and Game has either decided to prosecute it or not prosecute it. So that, you know, you're just not left with, well, we made the phone call, we left a voicemail, and we made an assumption that they're doing what they're doing. And this applies, Mr. Olney, to everybody in this region. I'm not picking on you or the city, so don't take it that way. You know, you guys, I think both the county and the city do a great job generally when it comes to water quality. And you're just before us today, so we get to put you under the microscope.
Mr. Chairman, everybody has laundry. Some of us are occasionally sensitive about which pieces are put out in public.
Well, and you know what? I understand that, but
I understand.
And I understand what you're saying, too. But I don't have the opportunity to even talk to my board members about something like that unless I do it publicly.
Right. And I take it that this is something that is of regional significance. I hope that both the example you've brought out and our positive response are useful to you.
Absolutely. It is not anything specific of my concern about how you guys operate that I don't have the same concern with all agencies in this region.
Yeah.
Okay. And the discussions that you and I have had, and Ms. Zachary, I think you guys are both on board with what needs to be done and have just expressed to me, you know, this is kind of new, haven't really met it before. You immediately recognize that this is an opportunity to do something with this, because this happens.
And part of what you're seeing here is my personal disappointment that this highly visible cleanup didn't occur.
I understand that. And I don't want anyone in the public to think that, you know, I'm attempting to embarrass anybody with this, because if they take that, and some people will, I think they're misreading what I'm trying to do, and I'm just trying to educate all of us as to how we can do this better throughout our region. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Follow-up question. I hope your answer to this will be no. But so I precondition your response. In this whole section, we're talking about illicit discharges.
Right.
And at the outset, it's talking about illicit discharges into regulated MS4, the storm sewer system. So do you make any distinction between somebody dumping paint in a drop inlet that goes right into the creek versus walking to the across the sidewalk to the creek and dumping paint?
No, if the paint is wet, if the paint dries on the sidewalk, then we talk to them about discharging a hazardous material in public because paint is classed as a hazardous material.
Well, any substance, I'm just talking about any illegal discharge.
Right. But if it doesn't, we want to abate it at the source. That's the short answer. And so whether it gets into the storm drain or not is really immaterial to us. And we do go out and talk to people who don't have active discharges, but there is evidence of discharges. One of the slides up there showed a pipe in a fence, and the only thing you could tell about it was that there's a bunch of gray thread material hanging out there, and it's a gray water discharge.
Yeah.
And so we would talk to them, even though there was no liquid coming out at the time that we saw the...
Okay, but if they short-circuit and instead of using the drop inlet for discharge, they just go straight to the creek, that's not going to be a stumbling block for you.
No,
okay.
And the solid waste, the hazardous materials, and the eventual stormwater ordinance will apply countywide as well. So it doesn't matter if the creek is slightly out of the urban boundary, it won't make any difference.
Thanks.
All right.
Any other questions? Okay, that was Ms. Zachary's presentation. And then Kira Schmidt, the channel keeper.
Just 10 minutes. I have a handout just to summarize my points if you'd like it.
Is this to help us follow
what
you're going to be telling us? Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Briggs, Chair Young, board members. I'm Kira Schmidt. I'm the executive director of Santa Barbara Channel Keeper. Channel Keeper's mission is to protect and restore the Santa Barbara Channel and its watersheds through citizen action, education, and enforcement. One of the primary issues that Channel Keeper works to address is pollution of Santa Barbara County creeks and beaches from stormwater and urban runoff. As you well know, this is one of the most significant sources of water quality impairments in the state, in California coastal waters, and in Santa Barbara County. And it's a challenge that requires proactive and concerted action. Channel Keeper has been heavily involved in the county's process of drafting this stormwater management program for more than 3 years, writing numerous comment letters and participating in countless meetings with Project Clean Water, other community groups and members, and regional board staff. We have a great deal invested in this SWMP, and we're pleased that many of our past recommendations have been incorporated into the draft that you have before you today. However, we find that Santa Barbara County's SWMP still falls short of meeting the general permits requirements and the MEP standard. Channel Keeper believes that the county's SWMP can and must be further strengthened and serve as a model for other Phase 2 municipalities currently developing SWMPs to address stormwater pollution. Unfortunately, the process by which the board is considering moving this SWMP forward today is seriously flawed. To approve Santa Barbara County's SWMP today with a resolution requiring certain changes to be made later and without subsequent review, changes which in some cases are overly broad and vague, circumvents the necessary due process of allowing the public the opportunity to review and comment on the final SWMP. Channel Keeper therefore urges the board to direct the county to make certain changes contained in the resolution, along with some others that I'll recommend momentarily, and then submit a revised draft that can then be appropriately circulated for public comment and come back to you for final review. Monterey SWMP has been allowed and benefited from such a process, and we think it would be wrong to deprive Santa Barbara's county SWMP of this. That said, Channel Keeper agrees with many but not all of the changes proposed by staff in the resolution, and we appreciate that they reflect changes that we in Heal the Ocean have recommended. Namely, as they appear in the resolution, we support the proposed revisions 2A, clarifying the assessment of the Green Gardener certification program, 2B, clarifying the frequency of stakeholder meetings, 2C, requiring a better map with water bodies and permit areas clearly delineated, 2D, requiring more detailed information on the voluntary water quality sampling program, 2E, requiring inclusion of Mission Hills in the permit area, 2G, beginning the discretionary permit review process in year one, 2I, including a more balanced MEP language, and 2J, removing the budgetary constraints excuse language. We have some specific comments on other changes proposed by staff, as well as some additional revisions that we urge the board to direct the county to implement. Channel Keeper's biggest concern relates to the county's ability to effectively detect and eliminate illicit discharges. Channel Keeper knows of numerous instances where complaints have been filed with the county about illicit discharges, but enforcement action or follow-up were non-existent or inadequate to abate the discharge, thus forcing private groups like Channelkeeper to take enforcement into their own hands. This is a clear indication that the county's efforts to detect and abate illicit discharges are inadequate and ineffective. In this connection, Channelkeeper is heartened to see the county committing to implement two new field investigation and abatement programs to prioritize and focus on areas most likely to cause illicit discharges. We view this as one of the most significant elements of the SWMP. However, site inspections are glaringly absent. As emphasized in the general permit fact sheet, inspections as a form of visual monitoring are important to a stormwater management program. Inspections of stormwater runoff and infrastructure can say a lot about the effectiveness and needs of a stormwater program. Inspections of facilities are also important for public education and outreach to ensure proper BMP implementation and maintenance and to detect non-stormwater discharges. As such, Channelkeeper strongly urges you to require the county to include measurable goals to conduct a concrete and substantial number of inspections of facilities each year, and to do far more than simply describe these programs, like actually launch and implement them by the end of year one. Staff's recommendation 2F in your resolution that the county include routine inspection and enforcement protocols is altogether too loose and vague to ensure that this critical component of illicit discharge detection and an elimination program will be implemented and effective. Channelkeeper is also very concerned about the lack of specificity and absence of necessary measurable goals for the rest of the county's field investigation and abatement BMPs. For instance, creek walks. Information from previous creek walks that was entered into Project Clean Water's GIS database must be analyzed, and that information used to target future creek walks. Information gathered from future creek walks must also be entered into the GIS database and analyzed. Sections of creek passing through agricultural property should not remain uninspected. And the frequency of walking priority area creeks only once a year and others only once every 2 to 3 years must be increased. Moreover, the SWMP must include specificity with regard to the frequency of field, manhole, and site inspections. Finally, there must be a comprehensive system by which all elements of the county's field investigation and abatement efforts are recorded and tracked. Field investigations are one of the most important means of identifying illicit discharges, and without a more robust program in place and a greater commitment to inspections and enforcement, the county will not be effective in eliminating illicit discharges, nor will it be in compliance with the general permit. This most important portion of the SWMP must be strengthened along the lines described above before it can be approved by the board. Channelkeeper is also concerned that the county's construction site runoff control measures fall short of what is required. First, the SWMP defines the rainy season as November 1st to April 15th, when in fact Santa Barbara often receives its first and heaviest rains during the month of October. Second, a minimum of 2 inspections per month on active projects with open grading of 1 acre or more of land disturbance during the rainy season is inadequate. If the county is to be effective in controlling construction site runoff, it must commit to undertake weekly inspections of all construction sites during the rainy season, as well as when significant rain is probable. The compliance history of the contractor should also be included in the list of criteria for site inspection prioritization. Further, Channelkeeper has recommended that the county develop and maintain an inventory of construction sites and grading permits so that it can better manage efforts to review erosion control and sediment control plans, consider information submitted by the public, and undertake construction site inspections, and enforce the grading ordinance and other construction site requirements. Regional Board staff appear to concur with this recommendation, as evidenced by their response to our comment in Attachment 5 of the staff report, yet this was not included in the list of proposed revisions. We urge the board to require the county to develop such an inventory. With regard to public projects, the county's Flood Control and Water Conservation District is specifically exempt from the grading ordinance for maintenance construction activities, and the district must mitigate all impacts rather than being required to prevent them in the first place. Because the purpose of the construction site runoff control MCM is to prevent soil and construction waste from entering stormwater, because the district undertakes extensive activities throughout the county that could negatively impact water quality, Channelkeeper contends that the county must rescind the district's exemption from the grading ordinance. Moving on to pollution prevention and good housekeeping for municipal operations, the county has a good start on this MCM, but simply providing BMP fact sheets and developing a system enabling facility managers to report unscheduled BMPs is insufficient to ensure that all county municipal operations will in fact implement necessary and effective BMPs to reduce or eliminate pollutants in stormwater to the MEP. Channelkeeper urges the board to require that the county develop a system which ensures that BMPs are actually being properly implemented and maintained at all county facilities on an ongoing basis, and that treatment controls are implemented and maintained where needed, and which provides for some type of corrective action if they're not. Also, the county should not only require facilities with greater potential to release pollutants to develop site-specific water quality protocols, but should also institute a mechanism to ensure that those are being fully implemented. And waiting till year three for those facilities with the greatest potential to pollute to complete these protocols represents an unnecessary delay and poses an unacceptable risk to water quality. See, I'm running out of time, so I'll just move ahead. Channel Keeper is also concerned that county street sweeping activities are too infrequent and too limited in scope. They only sweep 22 miles of commercial district and arterial, heavily used arterial streets 3 to 4 times a year. The California Stormwater Quality Association recommends a minimum frequency of monthly sweeping of curb streets. Clearly, the bare-bones street sweeping effort the county is currently implementing is insufficient and needs to be ramped up. Finally, I'd like to address the issue of water quality monitoring. The only real way that regulatory agencies, policymakers, and the public will know if county efforts undertaken pursuant to the SWMP are effective is through routine water quality monitoring that can identify and track trends in numeric levels of pollutants of concern in county waters. The purpose of the general permit and the SWMP is to improve water quality. Monitoring stormwater quality is essential to evaluating the success of the SWMP. The Regional Board has the authority to require monitoring and has, in fact, done so in the case of the City of Santa Maria, just to provide one local example. There are 13 water bodies in Santa Barbara County on the current 303D list and an additional 6 proposed on the 2006 list. And urban runoff is a culprit in most of these impairments. There's clearly a need for the county to conduct routine monitoring to evaluate compliance with the general permit and with receiving water limitations. Therefore, we strongly urge the Board to require the county to conduct regular water quality monitoring. That concludes Channel Keeper's comments on Santa Barbara County's SWMP. Again, we urge you to respect and preserve the important process of allowing public review of the final SWMP prior to its approval by the Board, and urge you to direct the county to make the changes I've recommended here today and come back to all of us with a revised draft. Channel Keeper looks forward to working with the Regional Board and the county to further strengthen the SWMP and then to begin working to implement it so we can make progress towards reducing the stormwater pollution in Santa Barbara County. Thank you.
Question for you, Ms. Schmidt. On your construction site runoff control recommendations, it would be my sense that once BMPs are installed at a construction site and if staff confirms through an on-site inspection, county staff, that the BMPs are properly installed, that weekly monitoring thereafter might be unnecessary. And do you have any information that you could share with us where you think?
I just consulted my expert, Rich Horner, who's one of the preeminent experts in construction stormwater runoff control, and he suggested that, you know, a good protocol is to do at least weekly monitoring of construction sites during the rainy season, as well as when 0.1 inches of rain is predicted with a probability of 40% or more, and after each runoff producing event.
And that he makes that statement with the given that the BMPs have been properly installed at a site?
Well, we know that they can sometimes, silt fences can sag, they can be damaged by heavy rains.
Right. I understand that, and I'm sure that can happen. Because weekly seems to be a pretty, time and labor intensive effort. And you could have a lot of construction sites, and building goes on year round in Santa Barbara. But that would be quite costly to do and maybe not as effective as doing other, putting that effort elsewhere.
Sure, I understand that. And yeah. Especially I think the most important part of that is when there's rain that's expected that those BMPs be reinspected to make sure that they're effectively installed and will function as they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. The inventory of construction sites and grading permits, that's kind of interesting to me, and I'm just wondering whether if any of the local agencies actually keep track of that in any kind of a database, which is kind of geared towards comparing it to potential water quality impacts. closeness to creeks or 303D listed bodies?
Yeah, I have actually a list of criteria that I didn't elaborate on that an inventory could have. The reason that I thought this was a good idea is because at one point last year I tried to call several different county departments to obtain a list of active construction sites, and no one was able to help me. That was disturbing.
Did you call the building department?
Building department, planning and development. No one had such a list with the kind of information that I was looking for.
But do they have a list of current
permits?
Permittees.
They have a list of permits, current and expired, are all sort of mixed together. Hmm.
Any questions? Dr. Hunter, please.
Concerning the creek walks, you mentioned that future creek walks should include ag properties. And so I'm curious, we have a number of programs that are addressing ag, improving water quality on ag operations. And I'm curious if there are access issues and what you're proposing here, recognizing some of the limits that may be imposed on.
Sure, and I know that's still evolving, but as Mr. Almey mentioned, my organization has done some creek walks in the Goleta area, and we also do monthly water quality monitoring of all the tributaries to the Goleta Slough, and we often see pipes, discrete pipes coming from agricultural properties emptying into the creeks that we know have extremely elevated levels of nutrients. And I think to just turn a blind eye to that is not effective. I don't necessarily know what can be done with that information other than having it and possibly sharing it with the regional board and those running the ag waiver program. But to turn a blind eye to it is not the way to move forward.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that the creek walk shouldn't record whatever information is being observed. I was just curious in your experience how access to private properties has actually worked for you.
Well, as I said, when we see these things, we're in the creeks, so that's not an issue, but that is definitely a concern that as we think about how we as an organization can address those issues, that's something that we're grappling with, and we've actually sent access letters to everybody living on the creeks to ask them if we can have access to their properties, and we've gotten pretty limited response, but some. So.
You know, kind of a general comment to that, when anyone sees, you know, potential illegal discharges or sees actual illegal discharges, your predecessor was very good with the Carpinteria greenhouse situation and just coming to the board with pictures. And, you know, channel keepers should do that. Anybody who sees something that they think is not right, and if they don't get what they feel is an appropriate response from the immediate local agency having jurisdiction, then they can either write Mr. Briggs a letter or come to a public comment with a couple of pictures, and I promise you we will look at it and decide
what to do. I promise you that we're working on bringing the greenhouses back to you, because I don't think that issue has been completely solved. So.
Okay, well, we'll look at that when you bring it to us.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions? No more. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Why don't we get through this, because this is the last presentation, and then we'll break. Is that all right?
Well, this hour and a half.
45 minutes. You guys, we have 45 minutes, and it would complete this phase. Is that okay? All right. Is lunch here? Well, you know what, whether it is or it isn't, it doesn't matter. They're just sandwiches, they can sit there. Okay, why don't we go ahead. This is a joint presentation, right, by NRDC and Heal the Ocean, and it's 45 minutes long?
Probably shorter.
Okay.
We hope.
All right.
Chairman Young, members of the board, I'm Hillary Hauser from Heal the Ocean. Thank you for this opportunity to comment. As the previous speaker mentioned, our investment in this county swamp is enormous. Heal the Ocean has been at this since 2002, and a lot of our letters and our comments are in your packet. Basically, there are just two things we're after here, and number one is to return to a due process where our last remaining concern can be dealt with, and that has been lost along the way. Our presenters, Marco and Angeli, will explain what these are, what these things are, but also we want a map. We want a map to show what we're dealing with, what is in the county jurisdiction, what is not. Heliocean, through making our own maps, has found out that Mission Hills was omitted, and we got that in. But how can you implement BMPs when you don't even know what your territory is? Just preliminarily, and just a quick comment, I appreciate the statements and the questioning from the board about monitoring. And I would like to say that in the attachment in the letters that we've submitted as part of this package, that Heliocean and Channel Keeper made an agreement with Project Clean Water back in January 9, 2003, for a schedule of monitoring of 303 listed water bodies that included the San Ynez River, Goleta Slough, Aurora Borough, and others for four per year for $32,000. And this is in our comment. We know it's more expensive now, but we had an agreement, and then it went away, and then we had another agreement, we went away, and this chart of costs was produced for us by Project Clean Water. And that is referred to, I know, in some of the attachments. Also, we have been saying since day one that the emphasis on public education is enormous. We have gone through the budget of Project Clean Water. It's approximately 80% on public education, as opposed to actually getting out there and doing something about stormwater runoff. Just educating children is very good, but it's not going to get us there. It's been top-heavy. And also in the budget for Project Clean Water, the emphasis is totally on the South Coast. Very little is being spent on the North Coast. There's a mention in the resolution that those institutes are meetings, and that's about it. So we don't want just any old thing. We don't believe that the changes to the swamp that are needed are incremental. We think they're major holes. And we know that this hearing and right now that we can't fix these things here, but we would like to reinstitute the process by which we can grapple with some of these remaining issues. Staff, former staff Von Langen, had done very excellent critiques of the county swamp, to which we supported by writing the regional board of the critique the parts that we really want, that we liked and wanted to see implemented. And then with the county came back with this revised, we double checked to see if the regional board critique had been included, and in many cases no. Some cases where the change was made and then the next draft had the old complaint back in. This process stopped when Mr. Von Langen left. And suddenly, instead of being able to see the whole document and seeing what the board was asking for, what regional board staff was asking for, and then what we could do, the next thing that happened, we were called into meeting and said, well, here's a page. Do you like what's happening on this page? And then here's another page. Is this okay with you? And we can't review complicated documents like that and see if the county is doing what the regional board has asked for and what staff has asked for, and we would like to return to the public process. We urge you to say no to this resolution and let us get the parts that are needed in place. Let us review it, because we've been at this for so long. We want to see it done right. Thank you.
Hang on. Let me just interrupt you, and I'll stop the clock. When was the proposed permit posted on the web? When was it made available? March?
January.
In January?
Right. January 19th.
Okay. The permit's been available. The proposed plan's been available since January. I mean, has that been enough time to be able to review it in its current existence to be able to study it?
That's actually something that we address in our
okay.
presentation.
All right. Go ahead. Okay, Dr. Hunter.
If I could ask you to return to the podium, I have one question for you. You mentioned that approximately 80% of the budget is directed at public education. And I'm curious, what would Heal the Ocean suggest the emphasis could be placed on some of the other management measures? What would they be, in your view?
Enforcement and monitoring, and mainly enforcement. We've been saying that for a long time. We have a very expensive watershed resource center in the South Coast that the lease is high. It's about $90,000 a year to run. And we think that public education could be achieved by a less expensive means. And we'll be involved when that lease comes up. We're going to be involved in that conversation to see if we can save money to spend it in a way that is more equally distributes the BMPs.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good afternoon. My name is Marco Gonzalez. I'm an attorney with Coast Law Group in Encinitas, California. I work extensively on stormwater issues, phase one, phase two. And I'm going to go through a prepared presentation dealing largely with the jurisdictional and mapping issue. But before I get into that, I wanted to make some preliminary comments. You heard a lot of discussion about this iterative process and MEP. And with all due respect to Mr. Almy and Mr. Lodge, what they're presenting to you is a twisting of how MEP applies to stormwater and how the iterative process applies to stormwater. When you have a BMP that's implemented, and that is MEP in your opinion, the test of whether that is MEP ultimately is whether you meet receiving water limitations, whether you protect water quality. If you do not protect water quality, MEP says, in the iterative process, says you have to go back and you have to reassess your BMP and you have to come up with a new one that's more strong. There's a very small component in there dealing with economic feasibility, but it's technical feasibility. That is the practicability element of it. What they've done is they've made an argument that the entire plan, the entire five-year program, is an iterative process, and I don't find that in the law. And so I would say that while the maximum extent practicable is the legal standard, what they're asking you to, what Mr. Almy is asking you to instead accept is what I would call the MEPP standard, the maximum extent politically practicable standard. And unfortunately, the Phase 2 regs, the Clean Water Act, Port of Cologne, there's nothing that recognizes this economic overlay that they would have you put over the five-year ramp-up period of this permit. The fact of the matter is the iterative process says you do the BMPs to the MEP, and if they don't meet receiving water quality limitations, you make them more stringent. Now, you saw also this pyramid that they put up there dealing with monitoring, and that affects MEP as well because the pyramid is also being mischaracterized. At the top, you have water quality monitoring. At the bottom, you have some measure of compliance with activities. This is the full suite of mechanisms by which you assess BMP effectiveness. This is not the mechanism by which you assess your whole program's compliance with MEP. Same concept. So, for instance, if you have a public education program and you want to know if it's working, you can go out and do a survey. And that would be down on kind of your level one or two. That's appropriate as applied to that BMP. But if you want to see how your catch basin insert is working, you can't go out and do a survey. You have to go out and you have to physically look at how much stuff are you pulling out. That's moving up to, well, that comes up to number four. Similarly, at the end of the day, if you want to know if your program is doing anything for water quality, there's only two ways to do it. One is you have to either measure the discharge, the effluent level, and show that it's getting better or worse, or you have to go into the receiving waters. And so with that, just kind of responding to some of the things I saw earlier, I'm going to very quickly try to jump through our presentation and bring Angela up here to address some of the minimum control measure issues. As a real brief overview, the points that we're going to hit, we believe that the process is broken. Hillary touched on it a little bit, but we're going to touch on in a little bit more depth. we're going to address this issue of maps. I know that the county has said that they're going to provide maps, but there's a bigger problem, because once they do provide the maps, that triggers a significant additional level of requirement in this swamp. How to tell if it's working? This is that issue of monitoring, and how do you really assess the program effectiveness? Anjali will address the minimum control measures and whether they measure up to MEP, and then make some recommendations. With respect to process, we did an assessment based on some data from the State Water Board, just to give you an overview of where we are region-wide. Out of 62 swamps, there are 5 counties, 31 cities. The counties of Santa Cruz and Santa Clara have not yet even started in Region 3. San Luis Obispo, Monterey, and Santa Barbara are pending, as we're here right now before you, and as you're well aware with Monterey's issues. With regard to cities, there's been only 4 approved, 27 permits in various stages of review, and importantly, some first drafts have not yet even been touched by Region 3 staff after 3 years of submittal. With respect to Santa Barbara County specifically, we have 8 permits subject to review. 4 have been approved by staff and therefore posted, are pending public review and possible hearings, including Santa Maria, Buellton, Lompoc, and Santa Barbara County. 2 have been revised and are in the process of being reviewed by staff, the Santa Barbara and Goleta City swamps. And then 2 drafts, which were submitted 3 years ago, have not yet even been reviewed by staff. The reason I raise this to your attention is because there's a problem. The process is flawed. Now, if you listen to what was said by the county, they've talked a lot about coordination, coordinating with other cities. Well, I've got an NOI from the city of Goleta that says we're going to be co-permittees with the county of Santa Barbara. And when Heliocean staff went to the city of Goleta and said, hey, did you know that the county of Santa Barbara swamps doesn't do anything for you? It doesn't mention you. They were surprised. And it set in motion this communication between them. That leads us to believe that the coordination really hasn't been everything that we've been led to believe it is. Perhaps solving, perhaps Lompoc, but not with these two cities. Now, this is important because what I'm going to go through here is relevant to your staff's response to our comment letters. Attachment 6, page 6, is the response to the Heal the Ocean comment letter sent in by Coast Law Group, whereby we raise some coordination issues. And they say, we're going to go and review these swamps, and we're going to make sure that all the pollutants of concern, including those that cause impairments to 303D water bodies, are all considered. The problem is now, all those swamps are posted, and the coordination hasn't been there. And as you were just discussing on jurisdictional boundary issues, I'm going to show you some maps that very clearly detail that we are on the verge of exacerbating this jurisdictional problem.
Let me interrupt you 1 second before you get off this, if you go back, just so that I follow what's going on. Santa Maria, Lompoc, and Buellton are each going to have their own swamps.
Correct.
So staff is going to have an opportunity to review those swamps to make sure that the BMPs are properly presented and identified, and there's a process to address what you're concerned about.
The point I'm making, Mr. Young, is that these have already been reviewed and posted. Staff has given its imprimatur of them having achieved MEP, the totality of coordination that staff believes needs to happen between Santa Barbara and these three cities has happened, and I will show you with some maps, it hasn't. And real quickly before I get to there, this process that's broken, we detailed in a letter, and the typical process, we have to remember, it's a very simple notion. A draft plan comes forward. It gets reviewed internally. Comments happen. We get some major revisions. The public then comes in and comments. Additional revisions get made. Sometimes you have a workshop, which results in additional minor revisions. A final draft plan and responses to comments get posted typically 30 days before a hearing. The final public comments are usually due 1 to 2 weeks before the hearing so that staff has an opportunity at the hearing to report and respond to the comments. Usually that's available 72 hours before hearing, and then we come here and you decide whether or not to adopt it or whether or not to send it back and have it go through the process again. Unfortunately, where we are now is we've had multiple drafts submitted to the regional board, but we haven't really known what the staff response has been to that. Since Mr. Von Langen has left, there's been a change in how you deal with it. You used to issue written critiques that we could go to and say, okay, this is what you're going to have to do, and we'll see where we have to then interject. Well, as of about 2005, it's changed into kind of this negotiation between the stakeholders and the staff of the regional board and the permittee. That's not how the process is supposed to work. And it bears out in the subsequent activities. The round one of public comments and requests for hearings were due by March 17th. We submitted those, and the regional board's response was, okay, now we're going to set a hearing and reopen the comment period, but they made no comments on what we submitted. There were no swamp revisions. They basically invited us to make new comments identical to the ones that we'd already made. It made no sense. Where we finally received response wasn't until June 21st, and we didn't actually receive revisions to the swamp. We didn't receive critical analyses. What we received was this proposed resolution, which, as I'll detail a little further, is not a legal way to go about this. The Environmental Defense Center deals with two prongs of participation. It first deals with the regulatory prong, and then it deals with the public participation prong. This particular quote deals with the regulatory portion of it. It says that you as a board, you have to see what they're proposing. And this is important because if you go back and look at what these actual resolution elements are, if you look at number 3, it says the county must include area maps with water bodies clearly delineated. They showed you one of those at the beginning of their presentation. It wasn't at a different scale. It wasn't well defined. It was just, here are our general areas where our permit jurisdiction is, and we overlaid some water bodies. That would comply with your resolution. But you, according to this, would have essentially approved that even if they didn't do something that was meaningful. Similarly, if you look at number 10, that's another issue dealing with budgetary constraints. The point being that unless we, the public, and you, the board, get an opportunity to review the final swamp as proposed, we don't know what exactly it's going to have in it. Next slide, please. At attachment 6, page 5, remember, or on jurisdictional issues, real quick, the importance of maps, it has to do with monitoring, 303D. It has to do with enforcement. It has to do with the ability of the county to appropriately budget its efforts and its staff. It has to do with targeting education. We cannot belittle the necessity for detailed maps in this plan. The general permit attachment 2 says that this overall swamp must include all of the urbanized areas, and it's important that it says, and at least those non-urbanized or those non-cities that are reflected in attachment 2. It doesn't say only those urbanized areas that are reflected in attachment 2. If you meet the criteria, you have to address it in the swamp. They include things like discharges into sensitive water bodies as being a trigger. And of course, there are the cities of Buellton, Santa Ynez, and Solvang. But the county's response says, we're identifying pollutants of concern for all of these areas, so it doesn't matter whether or not we accurately identify on maps. But let's look at what is going to happen when we do get maps. Well, first of all, real quick on importance of maps. Go to the next slide. I pulled this from Mendocino County Swamp, where they say, we have cities and we have unincorporated urban areas. And what they say is that since you can't define the areas of your urbanized area as you can with the city jurisdiction, we put in maps, which you can enlarge and use to precisely determine the extent of the county's obligation to implement BMPs and measurable goals. Go over to Solano County. They have some other ideas. They think that phase 2 requires them to include a map with corridors, cities, towns, creeks, lakes, and other water bodies labeled. Let's look at what Solano County's maps look like. They're parcel level maps. They're very detailed, they're up front, they're right there so that you can identify on a parcel basis where jurisdiction elements exist. This is what we got in the Santa Barbara County swamp. We got a non-detailed road map with some blue lines on it. And those blue lines are not streams. Those are the areas where we're supposed to be able to identify where their jurisdiction starts and stops. We decided that we needed to do a little bit more work to identify really where their jurisdiction was. First of all, they said, because we were concerned that the Santa Ynez and Santa Maria River flowed through areas that should be regulated, they said that these rivers do not flow through county-permitted areas. Point blank, end of story. So what we did is we went to the Census Bureau and we said, let's look at the densities of residents in the county. And as you see here, it's kind of a broad area. You see some areas where there are 1,000 people per square mile in dark green there, and you see the Santa Ynez River coming across. So then we overlaid over that the urban area boundaries, as you see in pink. It's a little hard to see, but when we now overlay the city boundaries, what you have is a simple equation where you subtract the difference between the cities and the urbanized areas, and what you get are various locations, which happen to be along the river, where it's in an urbanized area according to the census tract, but the county claims it doesn't have jurisdiction. Real quick, just to give you another rendering of what that looks like, these are the areas that are not claimed as jurisdiction by the county, despite the fact that they're in urbanized areas. and there's a San Ynez River. So when you talk about discharge to sensitive water bodies, let's remember the San Ynez is a 303D impaired for nutrients and for sediment. And when you talk about who do you call to come and enforce when the dump truck comes up to the San Ynez River in county jurisdiction and puts dirt next to the San Ynez River, if I call the county under their swamp, they hold up that response to comment that says the San Ynez River is not in an area that requires us to do anything about it. Next slide, please. Interestingly, we went to the city of Buellton Swamp, where they have this semi-detailed map, and if you look at it, next, you have these areas that are clearly within the urbanized area, where the river runs through it, and interestingly, these were prepared by the county of Santa Barbara for Buellton, because they were contracted originally to do their draft swamp. Doesn't make any sense they would leave it out of their own swamp. Next, please. City of Solvang, we did the same thing. I don't know why the slide turned sideways, but when you go through and look, you basically get the same circumstance where you have these areas. You know what? The map is sideways, and it wasn't originally. I don't know. Go ahead and go to the next one. This is going to be repeated. We keep going back to the census tracts. This is another area where we have the overlay of the urbanized areas, the overlay of the cities. When you draw in the areas that are in the unincorporated county for which they claim no jurisdiction, and then you overlay the creeks, you get areas such as San Miguelito Creek where it's directly through county urbanized area. And this is at the 1,000 people per square mile, and they're claiming no jurisdiction. Next slide. Not in the county permit area. Water Board staff will review the city of Lompoc Swamp to see whether they should be dealing with this. They've already reviewed Lompoc Swamp. It's up on the board. It didn't do it. Santa Maria, same thing. Real quick, we'll run through this. We have jurisdictional areas. When you overlay the areas that the county should be managing, you get some areas out by Guadalupe. And, of course, it's all right along the Santa Maria River. When you look at what they have to say about it, next slide, none of the county's permit areas drain directly in the Santa Maria River. Begs the question, why when we go to the Santa Maria stormwater permit do they say that the regional board has required us to monitor three sites to collect stormwater to illustrate that county flows entering into the city's systems either are or are not contributing to problems? And everything that goes into the city of Santa Maria system comes out of the city of Santa Maria system into the Santa Maria River. So this whole notion that A, maps are not required, B, even if they did put in maps, they've adequately assessed those areas of the unincorporated urbanized areas where they have jurisdiction. No. Simply, no, they haven't. We've commented on this for a number of months, and we've gotten nowhere. And now you have a draft resolution before you that says, send the county back to produce these maps. And I say that's not enough, because we need to see, based on what we've seen now, absolute detail where we are going to be able to call them up and say you have an enforcement obligation, you have a monitoring obligation, you have a BMP implementation obligation. And until we reach that point, we simply do not have MEP. As we transition to Angelique coming up, I just wanted to remind you, this is what we received. What we accomplished, Priya Verma on Heal the Ocean staff, took a lot of time to go back to the census data to create those maps for us to better understand what they should have done at the very beginning of this process. On that basis alone, the entire swamp needs to go back so that the text can be amended to match up with the maps that they will then have to produce.
I'm going to stop the clock. I just wanted to ask you something. Can you go backwards and go to one of the maps? Yeah, no, that one's fine. On your data classes, are you using for the phase two triggering mechanism for population density that 1,000 to 37,835 people per square mile? Is that
the phase two density? Say that you go to the census tract designation of urban areas, which is the first pink outline, which is what we have there. Then they give you a density number. They give multiple mechanisms for achieving permit coverage. Discharge of sensitive waters, density of people, and urban area boundaries. So when we go to the census and we say, what are the urban area boundaries? That's what it is. You parse out responsibility for the cities, and that leaves you with unincorporated county.
But
intersection.
But urban areas have to be of a certain density before they fall under a permit.
According to our reading of phase of the attachment 2 and the implementing documents on the State Water Board website, it's the census tract designated urban areas from the 2000 census.
Okay. Lori, can you... Maybe everyone else understands this. I just want to make sure that I do. What's the triggering criterion for categorizing, you know, what should be included and what shouldn't be?
I think staff may be able to address this better than I can because they're more familiar with where the areas are. But if it's within an urbanized area, then coverage is required. If there's a high growth rate, rapid growth rate, then coverage is required. And then there are additional areas that the board can designate for coverage based on a consideration of various factors, including discharges to sensitive waters.
But he's referring to something else, correct? Or not? Is he? He's just referring to what's considered to be urbanized and saying these are urbanized areas that have not been included in the county swamp and should be. Right?
Right. I think so.
Okay. Mr. Shallcross?
Well, now I'm confused. So under the law, when developing the stormwater management plan, how do we decide what's in an urbanized area and what isn't?
The urbanized area is based on the census, but...
Just as he said.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So the question is, have the boundaries based on the urbanized areas in the census been correctly identified, I think.
By who?
By the county in the,
okay.
In the maps.
And
according
okay, as long as we're not questioning the urbanized area boundaries.
Attachment 2 to the general permit, the State Water Board tried to identify certain areas that they knew would be included, and they gave some rationales for them. But it's important, in their preamble, they say, these include but are not limited to the following. And they give an example of some. It seems to me that the county came in and said, well, the State Water Board identified it. We don't have to go much further. But it also says that the boundaries must be proposed in the permit application and may be developed in conjunction with the applicable regional water quality control board. I read that to say that there is a bit of a judgment that needs to be made here. And if the judgment is made, it needs to be transparent. And we, the public, have to be able to assess it. At the end of the day, the system is set up such that we're not going to overburden phase two counties with regulating areas that are non-urban. We have an objective standard in the census tracts that is accessible to the public for us to be able to even make these maps. I can't understand any public policy rationale, legal rationale for saying we're going to let them skate, especially, and as we focus on, adjacent to 303D water bodies. Their argument is we're going to rely on the city swamps to deal with this. We see point blank that they're not, as you can see in the city swamp map. They're saying, you know, our jurisdiction ends as soon as we get out of our dark brown. Fundamental flaw of the system. And we've been trying to bring this to staff and Mr. Almy's attention for months, if not years.
Well, I agree that the maps do need to be part of the swamp and the permit before it's approved. You have to have the site boundary specified. And, in fact, that's supposed to be in the notice of intent to comply with the permit. So that issue does need to be resolved. I think there's a factual issue of where the urbanized areas are. In terms of the county's obligation, it needs to cover the areas that are designated by the state board for coverage, which are the urbanized areas and the rapidly growing areas. It doesn't it could, but it's not required to expand that area unless the regional board, based on these other factors, designates a larger area for coverage.
Ms. Okun, I appreciate that, but I must highlight that what you absolutely point out is a flaw in the process. As I noted, staff, upon first review, before we ever had to look at this, should have gone to the county and said exactly what you just said. Detailed maps with jurisdictional boundaries need to be up there so that we can contextualize all of the rest of the plan around the jurisdictional boundaries. And we couldn't do that for the last 2 years because we didn't have these maps that we've been screaming about and told we were going to get and not gotten and now promised in a resolution. That being said, I think I'll have Ryan. Apparently he wants to respond.
Well, I just want to clarify, first of all, that the attachment 2s are the designated areas that Region 3 has designated, and the boundaries were used from the State Board in the permit, and they use the urbanized areas from the EPA website, which are clearly defined, and they list the areas such as San Ynez, Los Olivos. Those areas are specifically called out, and there's boundaries. The county provided a map with their notice of intent. It wasn't included in their swamp. We have since required or asked them to include detailed maps, which they did provide in a meeting in May. Heal the Ocean and Channel Keeper was present. They brought maps out, asked them, is this the detail you're looking for? Is this what will work for you? They said, yes, that will work. We have copies of the maps on our PowerPoint that we can bring up, and they clearly show the urbanized areas that will be covered by the permit and water bodies that flow through them or near them.
But how about the areas that they've just pointed out right now? If you go back through four or five of their slides where they have, you know, by a process of elimination, are claiming that these are areas that should fall within the county swamp, and they're not proposed to be included.
They're not required to be included, those areas. The urbanized area is a specific definition, which is 50,000 or more in a certain area and 1,000 person per square mile or more. We designated the cities of Buellton and Solvang. Through our process, they weren't automatically designated as an urbanized area, so we used other mechanisms to designate them for the permit area. We didn't do that with the county. We didn't say you have to pick up these areas that are right on the fringes of the cities of Buellton and Solvang and other areas like that. We designated the areas as, for example, the Orchid, San Ynez, Los Olivos. Those areas were specifically designated.
Why not the others? I mean, let's go back. For instance, if you look at that, if you're saying that just Solvang, let's just look at Solvang. They're going to be responsible for looks like 60% of the adjacent real estate to the San Ynez River, but there's a maybe 30-40% there, which is adjacent to the river, that you're saying it's okay that that's not going to fall under a Phase 2 permit?
This is the first time I've seen these maps. I don't know where the information has come from in terms of the maps that were used to designate urbanized areas and urban, what are called urban clusters. That's been done by the EPA and by the Census Bureau, and that information was used in the drafting of the general permit. Those urbanized areas were included in the general permit, and when the permit was adopted, those specific areas are listed. And there's an opportunity at that time to comment on those areas and provide this type of information if that was a concern. I don't recall the process exactly that was gone through, that the Region 3 went through in choosing the specific outlines of the areas. And I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know why those areas are left out.
Okay. Well, it sounds like though the language that the State Board has in their attachment is not all-inclusive, but it allows for additions to be made based on a region-by-region basis upon, you know, a closer examination of population densities.
Right.
I mean, is that true? Because that's what Mr. Gonzalez is telling us, that this is the... this was the easy stuff to identify in their attachment, but they left, you know, a final determination as to smaller areas up to the regions to pick up.
Right. We did not require, that's what I'm saying, we didn't require the county include those areas. Right now, I can't tell you why we didn't make those recommendations. I'd have to go back through the process that we went through when we were designated these areas. But...
Do you have the maps that you based your decision on? Or the maps that do delineate that you based it on?
Yes.
And can you put one up for, say, Buellton?
Well, I don't have the urbanized area and the urban cluster maps. I don't have those right now. We have the maps that Santa Barbara County has produced, which show the urbanized areas.
Do you have one for this area?
For their stormwater management program.
Do you have one for this area?
Yes.
Well, can you put it up?
Yes.
Is it the same as that, or is it different? Yeah.
No. Well, first of all, the areas around the city of, is this Buellton, we're not required to be covered by the county's stormwater management program. So that's not, I don't know if it will show up, but there is an urbanized area around there that is required to be in the county area. It's San Ynez and Los Olivos in that particular area.
Wait, say that again. You're saying that the cities are not required.
Can we just have one person testifying at a time?
Yeah. Hold on. You're saying the cities are excluded. I mean, that makes sense to me. The cities have their own swamps.
Correct.
Okay. Now, finish or go over again what you were saying about these outlying adjacent areas.
Right. When Region 3 was designating the areas that must be covered by the county stormwater management program, we did not identify the areas outside in the outskirts of the city of Buellton, the city of Solvang. We identified the areas such as San Ynez, Los Olivos, and Orchid.
Those are other unincorporated communities.
Correct.
Whole communities.
Correct. We didn't go through and take slivers off of around each of these cities, essentially.
Interesting.
Attachment 2 that I refer to is the attachment to the State Board General Permit, where they say, and this has to be read into the record, that these include but are not limited to the following areas. For cities, the permit area boundary is a city boundary. For counties, permit boundaries must at least be inclusive of urbanized areas. The boundaries must be proposed in the permit application and may be developed in conjunction with the applicable regional water quality control board. When you go through this, those two areas that Mr. Lodge mentions, Los Olivos and Santa Ynez, are listed here. And let me tell you why they're listed. Discharge into a sensitive water body, Santa Ynez River, which is on the 303 D list for nutrients and sediment. That's on both of them and next to an urban cluster. The very most fundamental thing that staff has to do under the charge of this general permit is make sure that the jurisdictional areas are covered. They can't just rely on this attachment done by the state board to say everything's been covered. That's not the legal standard. The legal standard is the urbanized areas must be covered, the county's own map. They can produce another map because they don't want to have to do any enforcement or any BMPs out there because they're broke. They can produce another map that doesn't have the urban cluster as well identified, but they already did this for the city of Buellton in 2003. They can't go back.
Mr. Chairman, might I?
Sure, go ahead.
I add a little bit of information here.
Yeah.
First, attachment 2 identifies urban areas, and those urban areas include explicitly the areas of San Ynez, which is not south of the city of Buellton, and not south of the city of Solvang. It includes Vandenberg Village. It does not include Mission Hills. We've agreed to add Mission Hills as a community. Now, the areas that they're showing there, they haven't bothered to show you an aerial photograph. I don't know why. But if you saw an aerial photograph, those areas are within the active floodplain of the San Ynez River. And there are there are at least local, state, and federal regulations that prohibit development in those areas, first of all. So the notion that discharges will come from an active floodplain is difficult to deal with. And from a practical standpoint, the issue of discharges, from our perspective, is not one that we would expect to be developing BMPs for a floodplain discharge. The second point, however, is that the BMPs having to do with public education, enforcement, land use, and construction site controls apply without regard to whether we are in the urbanized areas or not. And so to suggest that for some reason that things would occur within these areas that, in fact, would not be subject to county control is not consistent with the intent or the explicit structure of our regulations.
Okay.
So now, in terms of these other areas, it would be interesting to see from a air photo perspective, from a zoning perspective, and from a sphere of influence perspective, whether these areas are in fact urbanized areas, first of all, currently, and subject to urban level development. Be that as it may, to the extent that this area, that is shown flashing, which is good. We can all focus in on it pretty well, is appropriate for inclusion. This is easily done. This is something that we can look at during the review of the resolution, which has us looking at these maps. We can do it with your staff. We'd be happy to do it with the environmental groups. We understand their concern. Samuel Galito Creek, we can talk about adding that to our 303D listed water body. In fact, if this turns out to be an urban area, that's fine with us. But I would state that this, I believe, is an issue that we can address in a fairly straightforward manner. And I'm not sure I understand the degree that this would hold up the implementation of the overall stormwater management program. We'd be happy to include it if it's appropriate.
Well, let's back up just a second. And we have someone from Lompoc here. So, I mean, the question I would pose to you is these purple areas, these are identified as having a density which would trigger phase two. And if I take what kind of bootstrapping what Mr. Almy was saying about a different area to this, is this all floodplain? Is there no development? Is the characterization of urban population incorrect?
Because it's based on census blocks, you're going, I'm assuming, because I don't have a map of the blocks, that they are including those areas as a part of the larger Lompoc. So each one of those sections is going to have a section of Lompoc, which would kick it over the urbanized area definition. The area in the purple that you see, the majority of that property is owned by the city of Lompoc. The portion that we do not own, and therefore will be governed by our regulations, the portion that is not owned is owned by an agricultural interest. And because it is in the floodplain, only farming occurs on that site. And that might be one of the reasons why the board decided it was not a concern. And
how does it then trigger the census?
Well, I think because
data.
Of the way the block was drawn.
Well, but these are they're defined as per square mile. So, I mean, if you have
right.
everyone in
and
one corner
that.
Of that square mile,
that.
Then that's enough.
Are you saying that the city owns this property, but it's not within the city limits?
The city owns a large portion of the property, and it is not within the city limits. However,
so, therefore, why would the city's jurisdiction apply?
I don't have the site for you. But, however, there is a site which says that has determined that the city, when we own property, has jurisdiction over the property that we own.
So
and I don't have the specific site for you at this time.
So the city's regulations would apply?
Yes.
As opposed to the county?
Yes. And I believe we've made that specific in our plan. However, there are a few parcels that are within the county that are in the floodplain and are agricultural. On the southern portion, a lot of that is undeveloped, steep hillsides. There are a few homes right along the creek on Migalito Creek. There's a flood control basin. But as far as what people would visualize as an urbanized area, you would not generally think that that area was urbanized.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the lower, the bigger piece. Can you make that purple? No, that lower one. What is going on there?
She's talking about
that,
that's the one I was referring to. For the most part, that's a very steep hillside. Difficult to build on, and some of it is probably included in the stellite mining operation. There are a couple of houses along the road that goes adjacent to Migalito Creek. There's the county park, but for the most part, it's the large grazing land, undeveloped with steep slopes.
Does your city have the sphere of influence over any of that?
I would defer to our planning, our community development director. The answer would be no. do you want to detail more of that?
Well, the answer is no. The answer is no. Or part of.
Hi, my name is Arlene Pelster. I'm the community development director. The area to the south is not within our urban limit line, which would be our hoped ultimate boundary, but the area to the east is. We hope to annex that someday.
So you have the sphere of, I was asking, is any of that in the sphere of influence on
Wapak? Not yet.
Well, you just indicated that,
No, it's in our urban limit line, which means we hope someday it'll be in our sphere and ultimately in city limits.
Okay, so you haven't gone through the LAFCO process
Correct.
Yet. All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair, in terms of relevance to today's hearing, it's important that we remember the response to comments. You heard some justifications, and we can't verify today, but this was the response to comments. This is what we were given in terms of public participation and how we're supposed to now come and react. So I think in terms of relevance, there is no option but to say if you have those excuses or arguments or justifications, they need to be in writing in a process where we get to digest them and go back and try to verify them or not and make a record for appeal if that's what we need to do.
It appears to me with all this demonstration, there's part of this that's in no man's land. Nobody's claiming it. And I think that's what you're pointing out, that somebody somewhere has to claim part of this area. Is that right?
Especially for 303D.
Yeah. Well, I that's what we're talking about, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the concern, is that the city's not claiming it, the county's not claiming it, the county says it's in along the city, and the city says, well, it's in the county, so absolutely nobody is claiming it, so where does it fall?
Okay.
And I think that's a point that the maps show very clearly, and I think that's maybe we need to have more clarity in the maps that are in the permit.
I'm restarting the clock. I still have 23 minutes.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman Young and members of the board. I'm Anjali Jaiswal with the Natural Resources Defense Council. I'm here on behalf of our 100,000 members, over 100,000 members in California, and many of our thousands of members here along the Central Coast. And we're asking you today to not approve the Santa Barbara County Stormwater Management Plan along with Heal the Ocean. The good news, I don't have any maps in my presentation. And in any case, I just wanted to make a few procedural remarks or a few procedural comments because, as you know, NRDC cares about process and we safeguard the public participation process. We join Heal the Ocean in their objections in terms of process, as well as one other key point that hasn't been brought up today is the location of this hearing. Because it is a significant distance from Santa Barbara County, it has effectively prohibited many of its local members from attending today, and one of the key purposes of regional boards is to allow local issues to be heard locally. Well, I'll move on to the substantive points and the opportunities that we have here today. I'm going to go through the MCMs and talk about the fundamental flaws with the county's stormwater management plan. The county's stormwater management plan is a plan to create a plan. You've seen this before in a different kind of version. And many of the questions that the board has had today are the exact types of questions that our groups have asked. One of the things that you'll see repeatedly in there is to establish or to develop or a goal. So it's really unclear from our perspective, from the board's perspective, and I'm not sure how staff did it, but to see what exactly is going to happen during the 5 years, what commitments are there, what obligations are they going to meet. What this county plan does is it restates existing programs. It rests on programs that it's created long ago, and I'm not saying that those programs aren't good, but those programs don't address what the purpose of the stormwater management plans are under, or programs are under, the Clean Water Act. That is specifically to control stormwater pollution to the maximum extent practical and to protect water quality. The county stormwater management plan does not meet MEP, and it does not adequately protect water quality. Just 2 points on this. So, as we said, we couldn't tell where the staff's analysis was in terms of how this plan meets MEP. I just wanted to do a quick refresher on MEP because I know this board knows the standard well. I wanted to highlight the appellate law and the EPA law and the state board law. And when determining MEP is a standard. It's technically driven. It also considers cost-effectiveness of BMPs, whether those BMPs are commonplace. Are they in other similarly situated regions, similarly situated cities? Are they accepted? Are those BMPs ones that the regulatory agencies, the water boards, the state boards, regularly accept as a way of controlling stormwater pollution? I think, Chairman Young, you said, are they the same toolbox in the BMPs? You've used that phrase before. So towards that end, what we did when we submitted our comments was we provided some detailed comments about the county's plan, and then we referenced referenced our practical plan for pollution prevention, the plan that the board had directed us to prepare. And I understand that that was for Monterey, but what that does is it compares nearly a dozen similarly situated plans and says these are the types of typical BMPs. And the staff's response to it was deflecting it. That applies to Monterey. That doesn't apply to Santa Barbara County. However, it included CASCA's letter. So I'm not quite sure, but there was no real analysis of whether it meets MEP or not. So having said that, here's our opportunity to look at the fundamental flaws. I don't think we can't make line recommendations today, but we will identify, and board member Hunter asked this question, so I'm going to go through quickly and do examples of how the program is deficient. Okay. So the first one, this is the public education and outreach program, and this is one of those low-hanging fruits, and what we see from Santa Barbara County does not meet the maximum extent practical standard. For example, the school education program, it's K through 6 only. Other programs go kindergarten through college. They break down, you know, because you can't educate kindergartners the same way you would educate college students, and fleshes out what those programs are. Targeted audiences. Again, when you look through the plans, and I know that you have spent lots of time looking through the county's plan, you'll see that there aren't really targeted efforts on the audiences that can cause major stormwater pollution problems, like auto industry, restaurants, residents, tourists, construction industry. It also lacks basic other programs you see in phase two, phase one, other programs, radio ads, commercials, hotel broadcasts to reach out to the public. The other one is measure effectiveness. The main way, the principal way that's used is a survey, and board member Shallcross picked up on this. They did a survey 5 years ago, and then they're going to do a survey 5 years later. And other programs typically do several surveys throughout the programs for different audiences to gauge how the BMPs are working, to gauge how the education's going. Finally, the stenciling and drain marking, that's limited. Other programs actually use this program as an opportunity to get the public involved, to educate them so they understand how the storm drain system and the watershed systems work. Okay, next slide. So this is one of the big ones. This is one of our big ticket items we have too today, right? And you've heard lots about monitoring, and the board has asked many of the same questions that we've asked before. As you know, other programs have more extensive monitoring efforts where they look at various areas. I wanted to highlight one reason why this is important. I know, you know, I don't need to tell the board how stormwater pollution is the number one source of pollution to California's coastal waters. But there's an interesting fact where Santa Barbara County, for the year 2005, had 653 beach closings and advisories, postings. The majority of them, near the 90 percentile, was due to elevated bacteria level. Elevated bacteria levels are attributed to stormwater pollution. The other key interesting fact, if this doesn't tell you why this program is so critical to this region in terms of its public health, in terms of its tourist economy, is that Santa Barbara County this year was behind LA County, number two. Its numbers surpassed, Santa Barbara County's numbers surpassed San Diego County, Orange County, other more urbanized areas, as well as all of its neighboring counties along the Central Coast. Finally, this is a critical program, a critical reason why monitoring is also needed: the receiving water limitations. It's undisputed. The county agrees, the board agrees, the staff agrees. Attachment 4, including the receiving water limitations provisions, apply to Santa Barbara County. How are they going to meet those requirements? How are they going to give us any assurances without monitoring? And I'll leave it at that. You know, I think that the board's picked up. The budgets haven't been gone through. The budgets haven't been submitted. We've heard some general statements, but there hasn't been sufficient information submitted to say why this critical BMP would not be included. Just a second example in this program, too, is events and workshops. Another example of the vagaries, the vagueness in this program. It sponsors a program, but you're not sure what that means. There's no concrete financial commitment that you see in other programs. There's no commitment to a number of events. Actually, I think maybe it says one event. So there isn't a robust kind of commitment. Okay, MCM3. And this one I know that all of you have reviewed because we had some good discussion about it today, and it is loose. You know, they say explicitly how we're going to rely on our ICID, which is the inspection program, another way of saying it, is we're going to focus on education. We're going to educate people, and that's how we think we're going to track and find. The regulations require much more. This board knows the standards. It's too loose. The program needs protocols and policies for stopping, tracking, finding those illegal discharges. That needs to have a schedule. We're going to go out. We're going to go inspect the system. The inspections here are limited, and they rely on existing programs. So they rely on the health inspectors, and they rely on the fire department. Well, the health inspectors focus on food, and the fire department focuses largely on hazardous waste, like cleaning up a paint spill. Where's the stormwater focus? That is what the purpose of this program is. It may be there, or they may intend it, but it is not written out. It is not a commitment that they've made in their program. The other thing, the inspections, again, very loose. Other programs have clear compliance, site visit inspections, where they go and they educate and they do compliance for all businesses. They have inventories of their businesses, commercial and industrial, listing them out, attaching them for the public to review as is required by the EDC decision. They also include compliance checklists. Okay, so the next one, MCM4. I have four examples here. Okay, so this program works pretty easily. You're supposed to identify a minimum set of BMPs that all your construction activity or that your construction activity is supposed to meet. They haven't done that. Other programs do that, at least a dozen BMPs or so that must be met. The sites regulated, it's unclear which sites are regulated. What we're seeing other programs, and this board knows, where they regulate all construction activity, regardless of size, saying these certain BMPs will be required. The other problem, the review of the programs that the construction sites have to have in terms of how they're going to address stormwater pollution. Most other programs review these before a building permit is handed out, and they have clear protocols on how they're going to be reviewed and if they're adequate with their ordinances. Oh, I'm sorry, I just missed one critical one. I think somebody picked that up on MCM3, is that there's no ordinance at this point. Most of the phase two permits, clearly the phase ones already have them. The phase two programs start off with maps. You see that like with Griffin out in Georgia. They start off with ordinances so that they have enforcement authority to go out and do what they're supposed to do, to do their inspections, for example. So there is the inspection frequency is not clear. Most programs, including phase two, once weekly during the rainy season is what the metric generally is. Next slide. Okay, this is our second big ticket item. This is the MCM. This is a program where you stop pollution at the source. This is where in an area like Santa Barbara County that is growing, that has high growth rates, high construction rates around the county, around all of the areas. The county says attachment 4 applies. We all recognize that, including the design standards. But it's really unclear when you read the document how or if it satisfies it. It says we'll evaluate that during year one. Well, the county will evaluate it, but when will the board have an opportunity to evaluate it? The board itself, in a public hearing. When will the public have an opportunity to engage on it and comment on it? This program is critical in terms of stopping pollution at the source, the growth in the area. looking at the population rates, those numbers, I know the county's done beautiful charts on all of the population growth happening here in Santa Barbara County. I'm not sure where the regional board staff's analysis is on this issue. But in any case, I thought, well, maybe, perhaps there might be some opportunity that they overlap. But I was looking at it closely. It's very confusing. And ultimately, when they review the plans that the construction industry submits, the measure that they use is, do they meet our existing policies? Not whether they meet Attachment 4. So it's unclear whether that's met. Attachment 4, as the board knows, very clearly, the State Board made this really clear. Here's what we want to see for new development and redevelopment, and it defined it so that it can be implemented exactly into areas like Santa Barbara County. Okay, next one. So this is MCM 6, pollution prevention and good housekeeping, just two examples that shows this is another really low-hanging fruit, and this is woefully inadequate, if I can use that word. It only noted street sweeping for heavy commercial areas 3 to 4 times a year, while other programs have frequencies for all types of activity, and all areas are covered. And if it's a heavy area, it's swept at least once a week. That's including phase two entities. Again, storm drain maintenance. It's not clear what the schedule is. There's no it says regular frequency, but what does regular mean? That's another vague term that's not defined. And other programs, they inspect all drains, they clean all their drains, they have a metric for noting cleaning, like if there's visible trash or debris, those drains will be cleaned. They have a hot list for trouble areas. So those are just some of the examples. Okay, so this is our concluding slide. And let's see. We have a request to the regional board. And the first one is to not approve the plan, to require the amendments to fill these holes that we've identified, to have staff do an MEP analysis, to recirculate it, require the permittees to meet the MEP standard and protect water quality. Critically, to not allow Santa Barbara County to be the weak link along the Central Coast, and for staff to prepare requirements for all six of the programs to meet MEP and protect water quality, to create requirements. There is flexibility in the Clean Water Act for the permittees, flexibility in terms of meeting the standard, not flexibility in setting what the standard is. And there's also to prepare requirements that are no less stringent than those required in the rest of California. And as I've emphasized, you know, this is important to Santa Barbara County for public health reasons, for environmental reasons, and to protect its tourist economy. So, if you have any questions.
Any board questions? No?
She did it in the time allotted. That's great.
There's 6.5 left. We're going to break for lunch, but I'm going to throw out a question to everybody, and when we come back, we're going to do our deliberation, but I'm thinking about this. There is something to be said about getting the county under a permit. Okay, right now it's not regulated by us, and we could spend a lot of time going over reiterations of this and the other swamps that we've got. And we could try to fine-tune all of these swamps that we've got. And my question to you is, what about getting them under our regulation, our power, and then doing something with our process whereby this comes back to the board at a much more frequent, at a sooner frequency than 5 years, where we have a chance to revisit a lot of these issues? So we'll talk about that after lunch. Okay, but that's kind of what there's a balancing act going on with all of this. And I would agree with you that there's lots of things that, you know, as I read through the swamp, I'm not happy with the language. It's just too vague. But, you know, a lot of this stuff could potentially be tightened up in time when we have the power to actually do it and mandate it. So We'll talk later.
Mr. Chairman, speaking of process, you mentioned coming back for deliberation, but I think you're going to allow an opportunity for the discharger to respond.
Oh, of course, and staff.
And staff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Well, we'll do that. Can we? How much time, Mr. Vice Chair? 45. Someone says.
We don't have closed session.
No, I don't think there's closed session. Ms. Oaken, no closed session.
45.
So 45 minutes. We'll be back right about a quarter of two. Okay, thank you.